All right, your turn to read, my ma'am. My ma'am.
My ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, and you're at, we're at 22.
Okay.
See, this time I was responsible.
Yeah, there you go.
We take turns being responsible.
We take turns. Okay. Would you be hostage to the ego or host to God? You will accept only whom you invite. You are free to determine who shall be your guest and how long he shall remain with you. Yet this is not real freedom, for it still depends on how you see it. The Holy Spirit is there, although he cannot help you without your invitation, and the ego is nothing whether you invite it in or not. Real freedom depends on welcoming reality, and of your guests, only he is real. Know then who abides with you merely by recognizing what is there already, and do not be satisfied with imaginary comforters, for the comforter with a capital C of God is in you. Would you be hostage to the ego or host to God is one of Dove's favorite lines, constantly posting in the room. And I love that, because at any given moment, you really are deciding for the ego or you're deciding for God. And when we realize that the ego is nothing but a belief that we are something other than we are, and that the Holy Spirit is the awareness of who we are, we start to realize that the ego is nothing.
Well, one thing that's interesting to me, again, are the words. It's funny how hostage and host are so much alike, first of all, don't you think?
Right.
But, you know, I do remember, I do remember as a first-time student of A Course in Miracles, the first time through, when really I was much more attracted to ego than I am now. I remember reading paragraphs like this and feeling that somehow my sense of freedom was violated. You know, like if Holy Spirit was the only real choice, then I didn't really have a choice, and that's not freedom. And I felt violated, but fortunately I didn't listen to that too much. I spent more focus on the trust in Holy Spirit and more focus on practicing what Holy Spirit asked me to do. And through my own practice, I came to see, you know, through my own experience, that this is very true. We're either hostage to ego or host to God. Because if I am choosing ego in my mind, it is impossible for me to be happy. If I was sitting here judging Lisa, if I was comparing Lisa to Lynn, and for some reason determining that Lynn was a better teaching partner for me, there is no way I could be sitting here in this hour and a half in peace. It would be absolutely impossible. I would be hostage to the ego. However, as I learn to choose Holy Spirit instead, what I learn is how freeing that is. In fact, a perfect example is it's like the burdens are taken off of your shoulders and you literally become free. You feel free. You know you are free. So the truth is, the, quote, freedom to choose ego is not a freedom at all. That is literally choosing to be hostage. And how can we, or prisoner might even be a better example, how can we say choosing to be a prisoner is freedom? We can't. So if we choose Holy Spirit, we actually learn through our own experience that we're choosing freedom because we feel free. And I'm grateful that I chose to follow Holy Spirit and learn that all by myself.
I had a similar experience. I felt like, well, what is this free will then? You know, I mean, people keep talking about, you know, oh, well, we're free to decide for God or we're free not to. I don't really think we are, because one of them causes us to suffer and the other one causes us peace. So ergo, how free are we really? And in The Course in Miracles, it talks about what you think is free will isn't free at all. You who have constantly broken apart and separated and broken down more and separated and broken down more and separated and compartmentalized in the world of perception, which is all just a whole bunch of compartmentalizations, you have now choices between some of the puzzle pieces and other puzzle pieces and the way you like things to be and the way you think they shouldn't be and all of the stories of who you think you are and what the world is for, etc. And in that rabbit hole where you're just literally digging yourself deeper and deeper, you're seeing less and less light. You don't have any real freedom because no matter which way you're turning, you feel what? You feel fear. You feel guilt. You feel alone. You feel separate. So where is the freedom? There is no freedom.
I wonder why Jesus says we're insane.
Right, yeah, I wonder why Jesus says we're insane. But it's when we want our true will that all of a sudden we start climbing up out of the hole and get to breathe fresh air. We get to see the light. And that's when we really feel that we're free.
Yes.
When we're not holding all of the weight of the world, thinking that who we think we are needs to eke out salvation in the world, and somehow we got to get it and somebody else is going to lose and we got to figure it all out and manipulate and be on top with what if contingency plans, and I'm going faster and faster, so you realize how totally chaotic it is until you say, you know what? This is not freedom at all. I am overwhelmed. I don't feel free.
Yeah.
I can't even breathe. And I want someone else to be, quote unquote, in charge, but it even, and that's the joke too, it's not even someone else, but it's someone other than who I think I am. I want to know who I really am. I want to be unburdened. I want to be unencumbered. I want to be able to come with open arms, open hands, and open heart without all these conditions, all of these ideas and thoughts, the things I think I know, bogging me down. You know, these are all the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. Real freedom comes from allowing those blocks to be removed so we can really come from our true power, who we really are. And that's huge. So when I learned that, I realize what I really want, and that is my real freedom. My real freedom is to know myself truly, without any resistance to it, without any need to believe that I am something that I'm not. And that's really huge.
All right, thank you. And now we're moving to another section. We're still in chapter 10, but we're at section 4, and it's called From Darkness to Light, and we're beginning with paragraph 23. When you are weary, remember you have hurt yourself. Your comforter will rest you, but you cannot. You do not know how, for if you did, you could never have grown weary. Unless you have hurt yourselves, you could never suffer in any way, for that is not God's will for his Son. Pain is not of him, for he knows no attack, and his peace surrounds you silently. God is very quiet, for there is no conflict in him. Conflict is the root of all evil, for being blind, it does not see whom it attacks. Yet it always attacks the Son of God, and the Son of God is you. Now, what's really interesting, in fact, I got a laugh, what's really interesting in this particular paragraph is literally the definition of the word you seems to have changed from the beginning to the end of the paragraph, because in the beginning of the paragraph, we're told that if we've hurt ourselves, we cannot unhurt ourselves because, well, he says, your comforter will rest you, but you cannot. You do not know how. So here, the word you, it is talking to us, but it's talking to us as we are identified with ego, because we had to have been identified with ego in order to hurt ourselves. Mm-hmm. So if we're identified with ego, if that's the state of mind that we are in that state of mind, we cannot comfort ourselves. An imaginary attempt to comfort ourselves, for example, might be, if I continue with the example that I think I like teaching with Lynn better than Lisa, well, an imagining comforting thought might be, well, Lisa's only here this week. I won't ever have to do this
again. Are we still on this? Get over it, Regina.
Well, yeah, I have to make up examples, which is good news, because I don't have many true examples anymore. So it's good news that I have to make up examples. But the reason that is an imaginary thought, I mean, at the level of form, it's true Lisa will not be here next week.
How do you know?
Well, it's true. How do I know? But the reason that's an imaginary thought is because what I'm not seeing is that judgment itself is the cause of my pain. And although Lisa may leave, and although I may never need to teach with Lisa again, another circumstance is going to present itself in my lifetime for judgment.
Mm-hmm,
so the core problem has remained, right? So from within the ego, although I may have the temporary sense of comfort, it is not true comfort with a capital C, because the problem has remained. So I need to ask my other self, which is the capital S self, which A Course in Miracles calls Holy Spirit. I need to ask the Holy Spirit for help. And the Holy Spirit is not at all fooled. The Holy Spirit knows the source of my pain is not, quote, teaching with Lisa. The Holy Spirit knows the source of my pain is judgment.
Holy Spirit sent Lisa.
Holy Spirit sent Lisa.
Lisa just saying.
And so the Holy Spirit is going to point out the real cause.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit is going to help me to identify the real problem so that I can choose again. Now, by the end of this paragraph, we are again reminded that we are the Son of God. And that is like, again, reminding us that our true will and our true wisdom is the same as the Holy Spirit's. And if we choose to listen to Holy Spirit, we will realize that too. But we can't get there from the ego state of mind, from being identified with ego. We have to disidentify with ego by choosing to listen to Holy Spirit in order to realize our true will and our true thoughts.
One of my favorite lines, even though I never quoted exactly, is from Einstein, the same mind that's identified with the problem can't fix it. And, you know, all of the weariness, all of the suffering, all of the pain is because I've told myself a story and I've believed it. And so that same mind that wants to believe the story, that's giving it all of the power and all of the meaning that it has, cannot know how to heal it. Because all it does is go around and around and around. And that is why, if you've ever been in this analysis paralysis, where you sit there with your thinking mind trying to figure out the solution to a seeming problem, and around you go until you get quiet, you pause, and you ask for another way of looking at this, that you turn it over to the Holy Spirit and say, instead of this, I want the truth. Like, I must be suffering because, and I do, believe me, if I ever get into trying to figure it out, by the grace of God, I am so grateful that I don't get into that. I have moments where I start to say, oh, I wonder if maybe this or that. And I start to suffer more and more until I go, all right, that's it. I can't do this. And I've actually, what's really cool is, actually, I just realized this right now. This is really cool. I used to pride myself on being that person who figured it all out. You know what I mean? That person who was highly intellectual and I could figure it all out, and my mind would constantly be going. And so that was something I gave a lot of power to, and it had its own track record as to what it seemed to solve, because that was inviting. I mean, nobody never hears the Holy Spirit at all, but I would always take credit for it from a perspective of thinking. I would think my way through it, and somehow the solution would come to me sometimes, you know, and if it didn't, just because it could not be solved, you know. Well, that's actually pretty weak in me now. I don't think I can think my way through it now. I haven't gone and relied on that old way of doing things for so long that it's a great thing that by not giving it reliance and power, that it's actually gotten pretty weak, and that I don't trust it. I don't try it. I can't go that long before I'm immediately going, my head gets, whoa, I'm hurting my head. Nuh-uh, I can't do it. And so I don't even go there before I have to stop and say, you know what, Holy Spirit, you tell me, you got this. And I pause maybe for a moment, or maybe for an hour, or maybe for a day, and I'll start getting new insights that will start unraveling and unlearning the story that I'm believing. I am holding on to something that I thought either happened to me or by me that needs to heal. So this is a big deal. Knowing that I don't heal my own mind is huge. All I need is that willingness. Because if I think that I have to do it, I'm the one who came up with it in the first place. Good luck.
Yeah.
So, it's my turn.
Okay.
I get to continue. Okay. Yay. All right. God's Son is indeed in need of comfort, for he knows not what he does, believing his will is not his own. The kingdom is his, and yet he wanders homelessly. At home in God, he is lonely, and amid all his brothers, he is friendless. Would God let this be real if he did not will to be alone himself? And if your will is his, it cannot be true of you, because it is not true of him. Oh, my children, if you knew what God wills for you, your joy would be complete, and what he wills has happened, for it was always true. We were just talking about this last night, where you may fall asleep, but it does not undo what you have awakened in your mind. And to me, something will come up to heal, and I will have a temporary loss of peace, and I'll say, wow, I realize I have fallen asleep. And in the realization that I have fallen asleep, I'm already awakening, because one can only realize that they have fallen asleep when they're awakened. But as we return and return and return more to that peace of God, we realize that nothing happened. And that's forgiveness. True forgiveness is getting back to the reality that nothing happened. And that is the most joyous, peaceful place. And that's being at home in God and being aware I am at home in God. Being with my brothers and being aware I am one with my brothers. Instead of focusing on feeling like I'm alone in the world.
Well, and of course, I trust that who we are is perfectly natural to us. And when I say I trust that, I'm no longer trusting it from a point of complete ignorance. There was a time, I've been joking about judging Lisa as my teaching partner, which I promise you I am not. However, however, there was a time when my mind would have been judging whoever was sitting next to me teaching. And the reason for that was because that's what my mind did, right? And I remember that when my mind was a judging machine, I remember thinking it would be impossible for it not to be that. It just seemed to be all that the mind did. It seemed like that was natural, and it seemed like the idea of not judging was unnatural. However, just through the practice of trusting Holy Spirit and practicing in the way Holy Spirit asked me to practice, and fast forward a few years, my mind still has what I'm going to call occasional judgments. But by occasional, I really am being very honest compared to what it used to do. It has now become completely natural for me to be in a situation and not judge, just to be in total acceptance and in total joy and total love of the situation. And because I can see with a little bit of progress that I've made, I can see that I'm going to call it the opposite of ego, is natural. Well, then I also trust that our truth is absolutely natural. And I don't remember why I even said that. There must have been something in the paragraph that triggered me, but I don't remember now what it is. I have no idea why I said that, but there we go. It's said.
I have something to say.
Sure.
I just drove. Well, it's a 14 and a half hour drive, but with stops and everything, I think it came out to about 16 hours or something to come from Las Vegas to Colorado. And when I was driving, I was reminded of something. And then see if you've had this experience. You're driving down the road, and there's a garbage can or a light down the road or maybe a sign on a building or something. And from where you are so far, it looks like something other than it is. And it may be a scary thing. It may look like an animal about to run into the street, or it may look like something where the road seems to end or something like that. And yet you're trusting that you're on the road and you know that you're fine and that whatever that you think you see is probably just an illusion. And so you're driving and you're just trusting. And that to me was a really good analogy, but it is my experience. It's like, here I go telling myself stories again. Here I go telling myself this is supposed to be other than it is. Here I go telling myself who to trust based on whatever my thoughts are, based on guilt and fear and separation. So this experience with Regina could have been totally different too. If I was coming from, okay, so let me size her up, let me figure her out. And as soon as I figure Regina out, I'll know how to treat her. I'll know how close to me she should be and what I'm supposed to do with her based on my experience, based on my past. And instead, constantly surrendering that thinking mind, that judgmental mind, and not wanting to tell myself new stories, because I'm wanting to heal the stories that I already have so that my mind is more and more clear, but trusting that feeling, that guidance, that intuition that says, this is the next step. This is the next step. It's the same as driving on the road. And I was driving partly at night, and you really don't see that far ahead. So now it's the opposite. Now you don't have a whole bunch of things that are distracting you, all these illusions. Now you have, I wonder if anything is there. Now there's the opposite, but it's still, am I going to focus on where I am? And what's right in front of me that I feel guided to do, Or am I going to be telling myself stories and doing that? And so that's the difference, and I trust. So coming out here, I got the guidance to drive all the way out here. And believe me, for those of you who know me, you won't have to try hard to get this. For those of you who don't, maybe. But no way would I have driven this much. Back years ago, when my mind would have been like, oh, no way. I have 10 reasons why you shouldn't do it. And immediately just shut it down. But trusting and surrendering that whatever it is, even if there is a fearful thought, and there was a fearful thought that came up, but moving through it so that Holy Spirit can heal it by experiencing what I am guided to do.
Yeah, and I did look back down at the paragraph to see what had prompted me to do that little spiel on it feels natural not to judge now. And it was actually the last sentence of paragraph 24. It says, and what he wills has happened, for it was always true. So in other words, the judging mind is what's unnatural, and the non-judging mind is what is natural, because that's what's always been true. And as we're able to practice, as Holy Spirit asks us to practice, and return ourselves to that state, it feels natural because it is natural. So that was the comment. Lisa, do you have anything to say? Yeah, we're wrapping up. We have 2 minutes left.
When we share on ACIM Gather or one-on-one or when we are in groups or anything, that really is the tuning into the guidance inside, because we're saying, I want to tune in and listen to you, Holy Spirit. Speak to me and through me. And where our brothers can benefit when they're listening to us with the Holy Spirit in their own mind, it is not necessarily that they will hear what we think they are going to hear. Everybody has their own curriculum, and everybody hears whatever it is that they're there to hear. So it is always we give to ourselves. And the sharing actually strengthens it. That focus, that magnifying mind we were talking about before, as we share, as we journal, as we read, as we even listen to someone with that open mind listening to Holy Spirit, this is part of the practice. They're all parts of the same practice of tuning in and listening to the Holy Spirit. That it is not something you just do in the morning or at night when you pray or something like that. That it is a continuous mindfulness, a constant connection. But it happens in sharing with our brothers and with ourselves. So anyway, thanks for having me. I'm going to be here for a couple more months. And just kidding. And I love you guys. Thank you.
Okay, and I'll see you guys Sunday night at 7 p.m. Bye.